In Igeres Tshuva, we're in Perek Zayin. We're going to start four lines at the bottom of the page. And the English is 368 at the bottom. The Alter Rebbe in Perek Zayin started explaining the proper way to come to Tshuva Tato. The Alter Rebbe explained there's two levels of Tshuva. There's a level of tshuva, because basically tshuva is two words. Toshuv hei, returning the letter hei. The two heis of Hashem's name. So there's toshuv hei, a higher level of tshuva, which is returning the first hei of Hashem's name. And tshuva tata means returning the second hei of Hashem's name. And up to now, in Igeres Tshuva, the Alter Rebbe was explaining basically the lower level of tshuva that's called tshuva tata, which basically deals with sins. And he explained the following. And this is important to continue on over here. The Alter Rebbe explains, Hey, of Hashem's name, is the level of Malchus, which is the source of Elokus that deals with the worlds, and is the source of Elokus, which is the source of the Neshama. So therefore, and as he explained, Yaakov Chavon Nachalosei, a Jew is bound to Hashem like a rope. When you're holding a rope, and you're at the bottom, and you go down, you drag down with you everybody that's on top. When a Jew does an Aveda, because they are doing evil, and we are connected to Hashem, so therefore we basically drag Hashem into evil with us. Not only do we drag Hashem into evil, but the fact that we drag Hashem into evil, Hashem now is sustaining evil, because we dragged Hashem into evil, Hashem is in evil now, so he's sustaining evil more than Kedusha. So what's the concept of tshuva? Tshuva is tashuv hei, to return that level of godliness that's in evil, to bring it back to Kedusha. Okay, that's the concept of tshuva tata. And that's why we say the Shechina is in Golus, when a Jew sins, and now we're in Golus, Hashem is in Golus, because Shechina is a level of Malchus, which is the Sheirish and the source of Neshamas Yisrael. So when we're in Golus, we take Hashem with us into Golus. So he says, how do you come to this level of tshuva tata? What brings a person to be stimulated to go bring Hashem and ourselves back into Kedusha? So he said there's two general ways. This is what the Alter Rebbe started Perek Zayin with. And he started explaining the first way. The first way is by having pity on yourself, on your soul. That your soul is such a great thing, it's a part of Hashem, and yet it lowered itself into complete evil. And, like he says, Melech Hasib Berhatim is the king bound to evil, and so on and so forth. And he said, Pasha, to sit down and have pity upon yourself. And when you have pity upon yourself, so that redeems the level of the Nesham out of Golos. So the Alter Rebbe says, four lines in the bottom, Vizmana Mesugul Azeh, when's the appropriate time to sit down and, you know, cry over your low level? He says that in Tikkun Chatzos, which we don't do, like it says in the Siddur, Ara Ayin Sham Beir. This is what we say in Tikkun Chatzos, Naflo Ateres Reshenu, that the crown of our head has fallen. Ayin Alano Kichatanu, woe is to us because we sinned. Meaning, Naflo Ateres Reshenu. In fact, Alter Rebbe in a different place, in Tanya, says it even stronger. When a Jew sins, Alter Rebbe gives an analogy of you taking the face of the king and putting it, Alter Rebbe says, into tzaya, into manure. Because we are connected to the head of Hashem, to the, so to speak, the intellectual, emotional levels of Elokus. So when a Jew sins, their mamish taking Hashem, the king's face, and putting it into tzaya, into dirt, which is no greater shame what can possibly happen to the king. So he says, that's what we say in Tikkun Chatzos, Nafla Teres Rishenu, that our crown, meaning the crown of our head, meaning Hashem, fell. Ayin Alanu Kichatan. And therefore he says, that therefore Hashem is called, L'chein Nikra Kodesh Baruch Hu, at the time of sinning, Hashem is called Melech Oluv, the humiliated king, Bepirkei Echolus, which is a part of Ramesha Kardavara in the Ramak. Ki Ein Lach Elben Godlum Yizeh, there's no greater shame than taking Hashem and putting him into the evil. Ubefrat, and especially, Kasha Yizbein in Amask, especially when an intellectual person meditates and reflects, Begdula Sein Sof Baruch Hu, in the greatness of Hashem, Memala Kol Am, the way Hashem permeates the world, V'Seviv Kol Am, in the infinite level of Hashem that encompasses the world, Kol Echad Ve'Echad, every individual, if Yashir Sichle V'Avanasi, according to the amount of their intellect and understanding, Yismamer Al Zem Me'edah, will be extremely trembling and grieved over it. So he says, the more you understand the greatness of Hashem, you can understand the shame that we're causing to Hashem by sinning. Just to clarify one more issue before we go further, and that is this, that we force Hashem into evil when we sin, is not chas v'shalom because Hashem is forced to become affected by what we do, because Hashem l'chay has nothing to do, who cares, you know, why should he care what we do? Hashem chose, and this is the whole concept of mitzvahs and avedas. Technically, according to math, finite has no impact on infinite whatsoever. Whether you have more finite or less finite does not change infinite in any way whatsoever. Infinite is not closer to a trillion than it is to one. So whether you have a million, billion, compared to infinite, it has absolutely no difference. The reason why Hashem is affected by our actions, for good or for bad, is because Hashem chose that way. Hashem chose, and He said, I want you to know that what you do affects me. As the Maggid Taish in the Mishnah, Dam Alamayla Mimoch, simply means know what's above you. So the Maggid said, Dam Alamayla, you should know that what's going on Lamayla is Mimoch from you. Hashem chose that when we do a mitzvah, we force Hashem, so to speak, to reveal Himself more. And when we do an aveda, we force Kaviyochel Hashem that He should be brought into evil. But that choice is because Hashem chose it that way. But because of Hashem's choosing, that's the fact that Hashem is in evil, and we have to remove Him from evil through tshuva. So how do you get stimulated to take Hashem out of evil? So first you have to have rachmanis on yourself, to know what you just did. That we are in evil, and we dragged Hashem into evil. And then he says, Beis, as a second level, is levate sholachnia klipa v'sitrachra, one is to crush and to break the evil, v'sitrachra, and the evil, ashekol chayusa, the whole existence of evil, is rak b'chines gasus v'agbo, haughtiness and evil, and ego. Like it says, im tagbia kaneshir, if you'll elevate it like an eagle. And therefore, vabitish vachno, I'm going to explain in a second, and the breaking and subduing of it is, ad ofer mamish, to the dirt, which is misasa bitula, which is death and its nullification. And this is a very basic concept in Chassidus. It's different completely than the Christian concept of evil. And perhaps it's a different than a lot of Torah versions of what evil is. Evil was created by Hashem. That's the fact. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, which we say in davening, but we change a little bit. Right after Yishtabach, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Yetzer Er, He formed light, U'Beirei Cheshech, He created darkness, Eiseh Shalom, He makes peace, and we say in davening, Uvereyas HaKel, He created everything. In the pasuk in Yeshaya, which this is a quote from, Yetzer Uberei Cheshech Eiseh Shalom, the pasuk concludes, Uberei Ra. In davening, we don't want to say Uberei Ra, so we say Bereyas HaKel. But Ra was a creation of Hashem. We learned in the past, why did Hashem create evil? Evil was created not as an end by itself, but as a means to an end. Good can only be good if evil exists. If you have no desire to do evil, or there is no evil, like in the realm of angels, where they have no Yetzer Hara, and there is no evil, so good is not really good, because you're programmed to do good. If you're programmed to do good, and you don't have any choice to do evil, so when you do good, good is not good. Good is only good in Aveda, when you have an opportunity to do bad, you have options. You have free choice. You could do good. You could do bad. And you choose good over bad. Then good is worth something. That's why malachim compared to Jews, to neshamas, are nothing. Because malachim do good, but they're programmed to do good. When a yid does a mitzvah, where they have the opportunity and the choice to do evil, so they're infinitely greater than malachim. So therefore, in order for good to be good, Hashem had to create evil. Now, if Hashem sustains evil, why is it evil? It's sustained by Hashem. It should be Kedusha. So what's the definition of evil? The definition of evil is it's sustained completely by Hashem. Its existence is dependent on Hashem. But Hashem conceals himself and hides himself to such an extent that he is so hidden that you don't even think he's there. And not only you don't even know he's there, you can be anti-God. It's not only that it's power, you know, you don't feel Kedusha. It could be in a way that it's so concealed that it's Berei Ra, that Ra becomes an entity. But what is the existence of evil? The existence of evil is the fact that godliness is hidden. If godliness would be felt, it would be bottled. That's the definition of Kedusha. Kedusha is a place where godliness is felt because the object is subjugated to Hashem. Why is this sefer holy? Okay, what makes the paper holy? Because the paper was used to print on it in Yonim of Torah. So the paper was utilized for the mission Hashem wanted it to do. So therefore it's holy, because it's bottled to Hashem. Evil's existence is the fact that it thinks it's not bottled to Hashem. And basically, to give the analogy of evil that he's speaking about over here, if you take a balloon, okay, a big balloon, and you blow it up, and it becomes a massive balloon that can block the entrance of a door. The true existence of the balloon is nothing. It's full of hot air. It's nothing. You take a little needle and you stick it, the whole thing plotzes, and there's mamish nothing left. So the real existence of the evil is only the fact that it blows itself up to think it is something, because it doesn't feel elokus. So what's the aveid over here? To show evil what it really is. That it's really nothing. Because the true existence, as the Alter Rebbe will soon explain, true existence is only when you feel God. What does this mean? The Alter Rebbe will soon explain. He doesn't use this pasuk, but the pasuk says, "V'atem advekem Hashem alakechem, chayim kol chamayim." You are clinging to Hashem, you are alive. The Gemara says, and this the Alter Rebbe will quote soon, "Rishoyim bechayehem kruyim meisim." A rasha, even when they're alive, are called dead. What is true existence? True existence is something that was, is, and will be. Temporary existence is not real existence. Emes, as we learned millions of times, is eternity. Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph Beis. Mem is the middle letter of the Aleph Beis. Sof is the last letter of the Aleph Beis. Emes equals 441. 4 and 1 equals 9. The only true number in math is 9. Any multiple of 9 equals 9. Okay? So Emes is eternity because it is from the beginning through the middle all the way to the end. Anything which is not eternal is not Emes in the true sense of the word. Evil, which is an existence of denying Hashem, is not a real existence. It's dead. Because the only, spiritually, is dead. It's very powerful, by the way. But spiritually, all it is that it blows itself up to make it appear to be something. But the real existence of the world is only Hashem. Therefore, if you're subjugated and bottled to Hashem, you are connected to Hashem, so you're existing. If you separate yourself from Hashem, by not feeling Hashem, The truth is, you might look like a very powerful existence. You might look like a big bully. But the truth is, it's a big coward. Because its only existence is that it makes itself feel that it's something.
Why is that so bad?
Huh?
Why is that so bad? You don't seem so bad anymore.
See, that's the problem.
No, based on what you're saying, it seems like, what's so bad with exposing yourself to evil?
They tell a story. A guy was once in an old man was once in a very hot summer sun, and he was very, very hot, and he wanted to cool off, so he went into a dark cellar, which was cool. And he walks in from the sunlight into the dark cellar. He gets all nervous. Says another man standing in the cellar and says, "Don't worry, this is only at the beginning. Soon your eyes will become accustomed to the darkness. You'll see it's not so dark." So the guy said, "That's what I'm really afraid of. I'm really afraid of thinking that darkness is light." As the pasuk says, "Samim cheshech la'erd va'afela la'erd gadol." What's the concept of evil? That they make darkness into light. The worst evil is when you don't even realize that evil is evil. Like the Rebbe said many times, somebody spits in your face. They're embarrassed. They're insulting. They're spitting in your face and saying, "Wow, look at this bracha of rain." Which means you don't even realize that they're spitting in your face. That is even worse than the fact of evil.
One second.
And Siddhasid explains, that Rebbe Shabbos and a Maimir, that when somebody does evil, let's say somebody does an Aveda, and they feel guilty about it, it's a good sign. You know when the problem is? When a person does an Aveda, they don't even feel guilty anymore. Because that shows that their evil became kosher already. That the evil became kosher. They don't even feel guilty that they did anything wrong. That is the worst type of darkness, because if you think darkness is light, that's a big problem. Darkness is only an existence for good to be good. Darkness itself is nothing. Choshech itself is hedder ha'erd. When there's no light, then you have darkness. And you know something? Even in the world, it's like that in Gashmir, because it's like that in Ruchnis. You know, darkness, people are afraid of darkness. I mean, kids, adults, you know, they're mamish. Darkness has a very, very strong effect on a person. But if you start to think for a second, darkness is only the absence of light. It's not anything. It's only head that it's the lack of existence. And yet, how can you be afraid of nothing? Darkness is nothing. Light is something. Yet people are so afraid of darkness. Okay, if darkness is nothing, which it is, it's an absence of light, how in the world can you be afraid of nothing? What's the answer? The nothing makes itself into such a powerful something when it's really nothing. And how do you know it's really nothing? So Chassidus explains, you take a tiny candle, into a massive dark room, and it automatically pushes away the darkness. The big bully of darkness gets pushed away when you blow at it.
But once you internalize everything's Hashem, it's just a matter of if we perceive it or if something's blocking it, then it doesn't seem so bad.
The evil doesn't seem to be bad, meaning the evil you should realize is nothing, it just looks big, and therefore it can't stop you from doing mitzvahs.
I'm saying, if it's a nothing, then what's so terrible with exposing yourself to it?
When you think nothing is something, that's bad.
Well, what if you know it's nothing, but you decide to...
But I know it's nothing, but I enjoy it anyway.
So what's wrong?
What do you mean, what's wrong?
It doesn't seem so bad. It's just Hashem in disguise.
Because it schleps the person down, and it schleps Hashem down into evil, which is an embarrassment for the soul, and an embarrassment for Hashem. And therefore he says the second level of getting out of Golus, so to speak, is by breaking the power of evil, to show that it's taka nothing.
Why is Hashem threatened to go back into himself? Hashem is shoving Hashem back into evil. You're shoving Hashem into evil. That's just
a big deal.
It's just different, like, fronts. That's really what it is.
Yeah, one's real and one's fake.
So
why?
How terrible is it to stop Hashem back down?
Why is it good to live fake? You go to Hollywood, you live fake. I once had a person who was a little bit into acting, and I said to her, let me ask you a question. I said, acting, I said with all due respect, I mean, I didn't want to insult her right away. I said, acting is bluff, right? That's the definition of acting is bluff. I said, don't you feel bad living your whole life in bluff? And it was a very unique answer. She said, it's not bluff. That means when bluff becomes real, that's the worst. She made it worse by her answer. She was saying the bluff, I don't look at bluff as bluff. I look at it as real. In other words, when somebody lies and they know they're lying, there's hope. When somebody lies and says it's the truth, that's the bits. Because what are they doing? They got so bad already that they think a lie is truth. So if you know a lie is sheked, and it's an aveda, and it's a lack of real existence because it's a going against Hashem, that's fine. But once, and that's the worst thing.
The absence of good is nothing.
The absence of good is nothing.
The absence of good is
darkness. Huh? Why is it a So the Rebbe brings down in Ha'ara that there's two opinions about darkness. One opinion, Halacha says, darkness is an absence of light. And another opinion says, darkness is an entity by itself. And the proof they bring is because it says in the Pasuk, Yetzer Erd, Ubeire Cheshech. Right? Now, if you look at the beginning of Chumash, it says, V'hara tzayisa seil v'veil, v'cheshech ha'pnei sahayim. That was before Hashem created anything. What was the first thing Hashem created? Erd, right? If Hashem created cheshech first, why wasn't cheshech the first creation? So the Rebbe learns that both opinions are right. The Rebbe writes in Ha'or, in a Maimer, of the Fidek Rebbe, the Rebbe writes that there's a level, two levels in cheshech. There's a level of cheshech, which is absence of light. And then the Rebbe brings down, like, by makas cheshech, the Yamish Chayshech was actually a tangible level of darkness. In evil also, you can close the lights, there's no light, and it's dark, but then you can make the room even darker. Like in a planetarium, you know, where you can make the room even darker that you don't see anything. It's darker than the regular darkness. So there is a level of Erd, Amichayshech, which is the absence of light. And then there's another level of Cheshech that the Eibishter created as an entity of Cheshech. But the Metzias of Cheshech is a level of Elokus which is so concealed that it doesn't feel what it really is. That's the true definition of Cheshech. There's two levels of Cheshech. There's a level of Cheshech which is the absence of light. There's a level of Cheshech which is an entity by itself. It's a metzias. Right. Right. And the Yid has a kach to break both levels of cheshech. One cheshech is harder than the next to break. But you have the same, not the mashal, but you have an evil, you have klipas noiga, which is also klipa and evil, and then you have sholosh klipsa tmeis, which is a bigger level of cheshech. Right? Then you have even in Shalosh Klipas HaTemeis itself, you have something which is asur to eat, but you're allowed to benefit from. Chazer, l'moshul, is Shalosh Klipas HaTemeis. Complete level of evil, but you're allowed to benefit from Chazer. Right? That means that level of Chazer you could elevate to Kedusha. Yet there's another food which is forbidden to benefit from also. That means it's evil all the way through the core. Not only for eating, it's evil through and through. It's a much greater level of cheshech. What? But it's so concealed that like the Rebbe used the lashon chaticha nasa nevela, the piece itself became treif. Huh? Chametz is asur b'ana. That means not only is the eating aspect of it forbidden, every part of it is forbidden. Right? But chazi you're not allowed to eat, but you can benefit from it. Anyway, okay.